You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Remain standing, Luke, the 12th chapter, 16 through 21. Luke 12, 16 through 21, and it reads, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And this man thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow all my fruit? And he said, This is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns, and I will build greater barns, and that's where I'll bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm not going to do the review because the message today goes a little bit in another aspect that last week doesn't necessarily fit into it, so it's not a good sequel or transition to it. But I've been teaching for the last several weeks about longevity. Longevity meaning making it last a long time. Thinking long and thinking wide. We started off talking about longevity in relationships, how to have good relationships throughout your life. He that is going to have friends got to show himself friendly. A friend loves at all times. And then last week we talked about financial longevity. I gave it a subtopic called long money, that you can have money and resources, not just for today, but you can plan and watch over your goods and your flocks, that you can sustain and be sustained over your life. Thank God for friendships and relationships, and thank God for money and material things, but there is another aspect of longevity that we really need to think about, that I'm concerned we don't think enough about today. I think there was a time when people thought about it too much. Now I think we've gone to the other end of the spectrum and we don't think about it enough, and that is spiritual longevity. Spiritual longevity. Thinking about everlasting or eternal life. Spiritual longevity. And the text here tells us about a man who recognized, I'm gonna have long money. I got goods, product, inventory, customers, dividends, accounts, good business that I have had a good run in the market to make this relevant for today. Okay? I've gotten rich from my investments. He calls it his harvest or his fruits. And he thought, I got it made. I can retire now and maintain the same level of living. So he said, what am I going to do? I got so much. And the FDIC only insures up to, what, $250,000? So I need multiple accounts. Got to put in different accounts and different banks. What shall I do? He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down these little barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns where I can put all my stuff. Then I'm going to rest. I'm going to say to myself, talk to myself, tell myself, so you got much good for many years. You got financial longevity. This is gonna be good. Take your ease now. No more sweating, no more toilet, no more rush hour traffic, no more Zoom meetings, no more having to coordinate this and schedule this. I can do what I want to do. A lot of times y'all ask people who are retired, people say, well, what you going to do now? And then they will tell you, nothing. Or some will say, I do what I want to do, okay? You know, I, a couple weeks ago, Elder Perry, y'all know he worked on our staff, and he worked another job long before that, but worked on staff for 17 years. And I was at the office a couple weeks ago, and he was around the office with the weed eater. I said, how do you get? And then one of the brothers said, I told Elder Perry, you got to do something. I know you're retired. You got to come on. You got to do something. But this man figured, I can retire. I don't have to do anything. I can do what I want to do. He said, I got much good for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But he had not thought about spiritual longevity. He had financial longevity. But he had not thought about spiritual longevity. So verse 20 said, God said. He talking to himself. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But you need to hear what God said. God said, you're a fool. This night, your soul is required of thee. You know what that means? This is your last night. You're dying tonight. Talked to someone about a year ago, and we both knew this person. It was vibrant. Everything was going good. Next we know, the person had passed away. And I said, I was talking to this other pastor, bishop, and I said, man, I said, here today, gone tomorrow. And he said, no, here today, gone today. That man woke up in the morning thinking about years to come and enjoying his stuff. But the Lord said, no, you're not going to be tomorrow. This is your last night. Tonight, your soul is required of you. He said, I know you haven't thought about it. Then who shall those things be which you laid up? You thought everything was fine because you got all this stuff, but you're not even going to be able to enjoy the stuff. Your stuff is going to somebody else. And the implication here is that this was not a man who honored God. So this is what the Bible would put in the category of the wicked. And the Bible, we know where the stuff is going, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Somebody who's good towards God is going to end up having your stuff. And so it is, he that layeth up treasure for himself, he who only thinks about long money, only thinks about this life, and is not rich towards God or in his relationship with God. So I've been talking about and thinking long and thinking wide. And you can't think any longer, any wider than to think about your spiritual longevity. Spiritual longevity addresses the question of where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? And most of the time when I'm preaching this kind of message, I'm at somebody's funeral. And the reason why I preach about this somebody else's funeral, because many times it takes somebody else dying for you to think about your own mentality. It takes somebody else having a premature death for you to realize that you could have a premature death. So I take that time to get people thinking about spiritual longevity. Spiritual longevity addresses the question, where will you spend eternity? God said, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. Many people today, y'all, especially in this age of us constantly seeing people making money. And ain't nothing wrong with money. There's a scripture that says that money answers all things. Body, all the issues you have, many of the issues you have, you can say, those are not spiritual problems, they're just financial problems. If I just had more, since people's marriages would be better if they had more money. Seriously. There's people who relationships with their family members would be better if it wasn't for money or lack thereof. So money can address many things, but financial issues, okay, or spiritual issues cannot be solved with financial solutions. There's some things you can only get from God. There's some things that got to happen internally before it manifests externally. Many people are so preoccupied with like this rich fool with making their stuff, getting their harvest, laying up everything for the future, that they have not stopped to think about life beyond this life. And when God created mankind, y'all, he placed him in the garden, and the plan was that he would live forever. Some of us don't know that. When God created man, the plan was he would live forever. And he gave him a solution or remedy to living forever. Genesis 2 and 9, it tells us that out of the ground that God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and it was good for food, and the tree of life, the tree of life. Now, we know about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the one they were not supposed to eat from. The tree of life was the one they could eat from. And the tree of life is in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 23, therefore the Lord said, behold, man has become as one of us. After man sinned, he's going to know good and evil. Not only he's going to know good and evil, he's going to know good and evil forever. Not only is he in sin, he's going to be in sin forever. So now, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever, this is what we're going to do. Therefore, the Lord God sent forth the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so what happened was, drop down to verse 24, Genesis 3:24. So he drove out the man, put him out of the garden, and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, which were angels, with a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, this is somewhat of a collateral damage. Because on one hand, it's punishment, banishment, that man is put out of the garden, can no longer eat of the tree of life. On the other hand, it's the mercy of God. Because God didn't want us to live forever in sin. Live forever in this fallen state. So God put him out of the garden so he can no longer eat of the tree of life, because the tree of life was designed to keep man living forever. Is it making sense now that Jesus gave us a right to the... So God, as a result of man's sin, God started limiting man's years. Put a limit on how many years they're going to live. Genesis 6 and 3, and unlike most of us think 70 or 80 years, which is what Moses complained about, children of Israel dying in the wilderness, he would say, Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy. This is what God fulfilling the word, because they weren't going to go to the promised land. They were dying at 70. He said, have mercy on us. He said, people are living only for 70. That's 70. And if those who are really, really strong, they maybe be living to 80. He said, God, have mercy. We're dying so young. That's what he was saying, because Genesis 6:3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit is not going to always strive with man, for he also is flesh, so I'm going to limit his days to how many? 120 years. Are anybody learning anything this morning? So God said, I'm going to limit his years. He's no longer going to live forever, but I'll give him 120. That means, y'all, if we're in the best of health, okay, according to the promise of God, we can be living to 120, but not if you're eating pig feet every day. Not if all your food is fried. Watch this, I'm going to tell you something. Not if you eating meat every day. Yo, I know, I love steak. Okay? I love steak. I like steak. Good filet mignon occasionally. And then now they got this Wagyu. I mean, it's the softest, sweetest, most expensive steak. Okay? But if think about it. When man originally ate meat, that was hunting. He would go out and hunt. So he didn't go out hunting every day. Okay? And occasionally. But so God intended for us to live 120. But the age-old question is whether you live to be 50, 30, 20, 100. 120. The age-old question is, where will you spend eternity? That's still the question on the table and before the congregation this morning. And Job has some questions about spiritual longevity. Job was going through what he was going through, and so he was sick enough to die, probably wanted to die. His wife said, go ahead and die. Job has some questions, because sometimes when you're sick, it makes you ask some questions. Some of y'all, you don't think about it, will, but God forbid, say, the doctor say you got cancer. Some of y'all don't think about making sure your wife or your husband is on your accounts. So when you die or something happened, they don't go through hell trying to get your $1,000. Now, we're laughing about this, but I see this kind of stuff happening all the time. Because we don't think about later. We're so caught up in today. But there's an age-old question on the table. Job starts asking some questions about longevity. Job asked in Job 14 and 10, he said, but man dieth and wasteth away. This is somebody who was going through wasting away. He said, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. I got a question. Where is he? What happens after you die? Job started asking questions. He asked again in Job 14 and 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I got a question. If a man dies, will he live again? Job started asking questions about spiritual longevity. We still need to ask the questions today. What happens after I die? Are you prepared to die? Because you're going to die. Somebody, the devil's a liar. You a liar. If Jesus spares, unless Jesus spares his coming, everybody in here going to die. Some of us are closer than others. And since we're going to die, just like because you're going to eat, because you live, you know you're going to need food. Because you live, you know you're going to need money. Well, because you're going to die, you need to make sure your spirit's right. So the question is, are you prepared to die? Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 27 says, it is appointed for men to die once. There is an appointment that every one of us can have. Y'all know that some people always breaking appointments. Some people put something on the schedule. I was telling somebody a couple weeks ago, somebody said, somebody going to do something. I said, you want to put some money on it? I'm not a betting man, but I would have won that one. Because some people, their word's not reliable. They're always breaking appointments. They say they're going to be there, they're not there. They say they're going to be at a particular time, they're not going to be at a particular time. Okay? Some of y'all didn't notice, I had to find this out. That in America we call it CP time. Okay, that's what they call it. It's called colored people time. Okay, and I just thought, but you ain't seen colored people time till you seen AP time. That's African people time. We got a derivative of it. I'm very serious. Don't y'all get mad. I got a lot of African members, but y'all know it's the truth. And they will tell you, The latest weddings I ever had was performing wedding for African people. Nigerians and Ghanaians and Kenyans. Because time, they will tell you. My daughter, she lives in New York City now. She got friends, as well as Pastor Marcy and I here today, because my daughter's preaching today at both services. So, and the pastor went out of town and left her to charge the church. Do you know who this is? Look at God. So Pastor Moss went up there to support her and help her with my grandson. But my daughter, she texted us a couple weeks ago from a baby party, 1 year old. It's an hour and a half. It's like 3:30. The party's supposed to start at 2:00. She said, we're still waiting for the parents to come with the baby. And I said, well, she said, Well, they're such and such kind of people. She had to learn. Okay. Some people, time means nothing. But there's one appointment. I don't care what your color your skin is. I don't care what nationality you are, what country you're from. It's appointed unto man once to die. And you can't be late. You're not going to be late. That's an appointment everybody got to keep. Are y'all listening to me? But then he goes on to say, not only are you going to have the death appointment, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this is the judgment. So after you die, now there's a judgment. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8-10, talks about this judgment. He said, for those of us who are Christians, we are confident. We're not afraid of death. For those of us who've taken care of our spiritual business, we're not afraid. We are confident, I say, and in willing even, rather to be absent from the body. When we die, we are immediately present with the Lord. He said, wherefore we labor that whether we're present or absent, living physically or living spiritually, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment. Who? We must who? Some of us got to appear before the judgment. No, we shall all, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, that's some, are y'all with me here? That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There are people teaching today, it does not matter how you live. Take that out the Bible if that's the case. We must all appear before the judgment. He's talking to Christians. He said, but now we are confident in our judgment. We're going to be all right. We're confident because we all got to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether they be good or bad. So there's good things you can do in this body, and there's bad things you can do in this body. So for the Christian, y'all, we have hope that goes beyond the grave, that goes beyond this life. We are confident of a good, healthy, spiritual longevity. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says to everybody else and all of us, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we of all men most miserable. Now, let me say what he's saying here. He says, as much as God and the relationship with Jesus Christ benefits us on earth, that is not the full extent of our reward. Even though our relationship with Christ, he can cause us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers, he'll supply all of our need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll cause wealth and riches to be in our house. He said, oh, that's real good. He said, but that's not the end of our hope. Our hope in Christ goes beyond this life. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what? Most miserable. He's saying this rich fool was really miserable because he had it going here on earth, but that was the end of it. Everything he worked for, going to go to somebody else, and there's no eternal reward. John 11:25-26, when Jesus comes to the grave of Lazarus, he reminds Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He that believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. But the caveat here is that I got to believe, be a believer. For the believer, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, that's talking about for those of us who are right here on earth right now, if we're living, but we believe in him, we will never die. Remember, because Jesus gave us a right to the tree of life. Oh man, there's some good stuff here. Then he says to Martha, do you believe this? Believe thou this? So the scriptures are constantly reminding us to think about life beyond this life. That's what I'm trying to do for all of us in this room. You got to think about life beyond this life, as good as it is, And I want it to be good for you. I want your struggle days to be over. I want your poverty days to be over. I want you to be healthy. I want you to be wealthy. I want you to be wise. I want you to drive what you want to drive, live like you want to live. I want you to be able to travel the world. I want you to choose today whether you're going to go out to eat or whether you're going to eat at home. And if you decide to go out, what restaurant you're going to go at based upon the menu, not based upon your pocket. I want all of you to have that and live a great life. And yet, I want you to have more than that. I want you to have a life that goes beyond this life. So the scriptures are constantly reminding us to think about life beyond this life. One of the first scriptures I learned as a young man, and I preached, I think my third message, those you don't know, this year, on the fourth Sunday in June, will be my 50th anniversary preaching. I know you're shocked because I only live 35. How does that happen? But my third message that I've preached was based upon this scripture from Ecclesiastes 12 chapter. It was at a youth day service, Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 6. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, as an old man, is writing to young people. And he tells them, listen, you need to remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Remember now your creator when in the days of your youth. He says, stop talking about when I get old. He says, there's no promise you won't get old. Stop talking about one day I'm going to get myself together. Your one day may not come. Stop talking about when I settle down. You better settle down today. I've been telling you, you can't twerk your whole life. Some of y'all need to make a decision that your twerking days are over today. I twerked my last twerk last night. He said, you got to remember your creator, not when you're too old, not before you can, you have nothing else to give the Lord. You can't be a witness to him because you can't be a witness to yourself. He said, remember your days, now you're creating the days of your youth. Watch it. I'm reading the New King James. Before the difficult days come. Oh, my God. He says, stop waiting. Talking about, I guess I need the Lord now because you got a divorce. Get saved and marry the right person. Maybe you can avoid divorce. Well, I guess I need to come to the Lord now because I had a foreclosure and lost my house. Maybe you need to come to the Lord early now and he'll give you wisdom to manage your finances the way you want to lose your house. He said, remember your days in the days of youth before the difficult days come. And the years draw nigh when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, y'all ever see a real old sinner? I mean, like you an old sinner. You know, I mean, like you 85 and still snorting. I mean, you 85 and still carrying a 40. I mean, you ever see an old sinner? I said to an old relative of mine one time, I said, you too old to do nothing else. So you might as well get saved and become somebody deacon. What you doing? You know, you got young people who say, when I get this out of my system, You ain't got a system no more. You shouldn't be an old sinner. He said, you waiting. He said, before the days come, you say, have no pleasure. Ain't nothing else to do but be saved. He said, remember your creator. Look at this. Before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken. He said, before you lose all your stuff or the pitcher shattered at the fountain. Or the wheel is broken at the well. He said, remember, get saved. Give your life to the Lord before stuff starts falling apart.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit brightdirection.info.